The verse of the week comes from John chapter 14, 1 through 3, and it says this: Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you? If I go in to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This verse has been shared over and over and over at many, many funerals as a delight, as a comfort, as a hope, knowing that those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will be in the most unbelievable place awaiting for each and every single one of us. And what comfort that gives each of us, knowing that these people describing their idea of what heaven. I don't know what your idea of heaven may be like. And so I opened up maybe a can of worms by saying, you know what, the next few months I would like the congregation to pick what they would like to learn about, what they would like for me to preach on. And so I've decided to call it the congregation's choice, to let you, if there's something that you would like for me to share, a message that maybe you're going through, I want to be able to talk on those things. I want to be able to see if I can't hit some of the subjects. And when I put this out a couple weeks ago, it was very interesting. The ones that I got back, especially right away, was on this particular topic of what is heaven like. I think this the video with these kids did a pretty good job. But in some ways, it's a mystery. In some ways, it is this hope that we like, that we're hoping that maybe there's a golf course, and then there's a snow cone machine, and then back in the day when Willy Wonka came out, that it looked like all this candy when you walk through everything, that you could just grab a big old gummy bear or dip your face in a whole bunch of chocolate. It could be like that in so many different ways. And you know what? And I have to say, maybe I wouldn't mind a little Willy Wonka action up there, you know? I mean, it would be, I mean, if we're dreaming, if we're hoping, you know, I don't know. I mean, nowhere in scriptures does it talk about Wonka Land or anything like that, but that's what makes it a mystery. That's what makes it fun to talk about. But when we look at God's perspective on heaven, it's interesting because the door gets kicked wide open. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says this: No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined or can even conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. So when you're wrapping your mind around the whole idea of what God is preparing for you, it's almost inconceivable. And that's the mystery, that's the hope, that's the excitement, that if we already knew right now what was up there, how many of you guys would probably be that excited about it? If you say, well, we already know every single thing that's going to happen. And the hope of that is that it's beyond our even conception of even understanding fully the hope and the glory of what it's going to become. See, knowing that Jesus is preparing a place for us for all of eternity. I want you to think about that. That Jesus is preparing a place for us for all of eternity is such a cool thing. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Genesis 1, John 1:1, that Jesus was with him at the right hand of God at the very beginning of time, he had heaven in mind. And he had you in mind to be with him for all of eternity. So not only did he have heaven in mind from the very beginning, but he had you in mind with him for all of eternity. And that alone should change our whole entire perspective when it comes to our walk and our everyday relationship with Jesus Christ, because the creator of the universe has been thinking about you since day one. He's been thinking about you spending eternity with him since day one. And your children and your children's children and your parents and your grandparents, all of these people, for all of us to be together for all of eternity. Is there people that you miss today that you know that has already gone to be with the Lord? And you say, I cannot wait to see you again. I cannot wait to maybe meet you. Are there people that you are like, I can't wait to meet this guy. I can't wait to meet this girl. I can't wait to meet this child. I can't wait to meet this person that I don't know here on earth, but someday I'll be able to walk. And the people that we read about, we say, man, I can't wait to meet John. I can't wait to meet Paul. I can't wait to meet Timothy. I can't wait to meet some of these people that we got to read about and we get to study and we get to learn about. Learning about Abraham and seeing Noah and asking Jonah, what really was it like to be spit out 100 yards from the beach out of a well? What was that like, Moses? The great questions and to be able to spend time. But then the ultimate, forget about them. To see the glory of God Almighty, His face. He's beautiful. He's so beautiful. So I just ask that you would be with me now as I open up the scriptures and we would look at what God has to say to us. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. And Father, would you open up our hearts? Lord, would you allow each and every one of us to be excited about knowing what is in store for us, for those who put their trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds right now, that we would be focused on the eternal, that we'd be focused on why you brought us here today, that each and every one of us has an appointment right now with you, and we will have an appointment with you again as we meet you face to face. So, Lord, as we open up these scriptures, I pray that you would show us, that you would allow us to teach us and to be able to give us a glimpse of your glory today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, statistically, one out of one of us are going to die. It's something encouraging, right? Statistically, one out of one of us is going to die. And so, to be able to talk about the relevance of heaven should affect every single one of us today. Okay, so you are not exempt from this particular message today. So stay awake, because what you're about to hear is where you will either possibly spend eternally in or where you will spend eternally away from. Okay? So this message is a very, very important message. So if we know that literally one out of one of us is going to experience him and one out of one of us is going to literally stand before the throne of grace, and you're not going to be with your mom and your dad, you're not going to be with your great-grandparents that brought you to church, you're not going to be with your cousin Ralph, you're not going to be with Nancy, you're not going to be with Aunt Judy, you're not going to be with me, you're not going to be with anybody else. You will stand before the throne of grace, and Jesus will ask you, why are you here? In the United States, 81% of people believe in heaven. A poll that was given, 81% of people believe in heaven. Now, that's pretty good. I mean, that's a B. But listen to this. The stats are lower when it comes to hell. 69% of the people in the United States believe in a hell. Those people are in denial, okay? Those people probably don't want to believe that there is an actual hell, but there is. But since I'm teaching on heaven today, I'm not teaching on hell, we're going to focus on the 81%. What is it that you believe in? What is it that you need to know about heaven? Where in the Bible does it even talk about heaven? Well, first of all, Scripture is filled with heaven. Who will be there? Who will not be there? Some of the things that you're going to receive in heaven, some of the things that you won't see in heaven, the things that are not going to make it, the things that, you know, even my father said, hey, you know, we were talking earlier this week when he said, well, it's not going to go with me. And he's right on. There are things that are just not going to make it. There are things that just will not last. That's not going to make it up into heaven. And the reason why is because there's only three eternal things. As I said before, you have God and Jesus, the Trinity. You have every single believer, and you have God's word. And if it doesn't revolve around those three things, it's not going to make it. It all burns up. Nothing is going to make it. So only those things that revolve around the eternal truth, around the eternal things, are going to make it and last forever. Period. And then there's going to be some things that are very specific, and then there's going to be some things that are very surprising when it comes to what is in heaven that we just don't get privy to, that we don't get to see on this side on earth. Because our mind and ears, we cannot conceive what God has in store for those. Have you ever longed to go on a trip somewhere? Anyone ever longs to go on a trip somewhere so badly that you could just taste it, that you just like you want? I mean, if you could just go there, you'd be planning it, you'd be saving for it, you're packing, 3 weeks before, you're getting everything set up, you're making sure everything's lined up, the hotels are there, you're making sure that you have transportation, you have everything in place. Have you ever longed to go on a trip that badly where you can just, you're just so excited? Places like Hawaii, places like the mountains in Colorado, or my favorite places, being able to go to Italy. I can't wait. Someday I want to go to China. Why? Because I love Chinese food. I hear they have good Chinese food. I want to go and literally walk the Great Wall of China. I want to go walk there. I want to eat all these different types of Chinese food. My wife is like, because she already calls me Jackie Chan, as it is. All right? Because every single day, I'm always like, hey, well, y'all want to eat Chinese? When we can't think of anything, and everybody's just like, yeah. Nobody wants to eat Chinese with me. Anybody like Chinese, by the way? You're all in. We're all going together. All right? Literally, she calls me Jackie Chan, okay? I want to go to Jerusalem so bad. To be able to see all the places where Jesus walked and experienced. And that would be a dream come true. It would be a dream come true to be able to see that. But I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is going to blow everything else out of the water. You add all the coolest places you could ever imagine. And the best places and every one of those places. And it won't even come close of what is being prepared right now for you in heaven. See, we're all built. We have this built-in desire that God made us when he was wiring us for one place, and that is heaven. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:11 up here. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything, Sal, watch this, beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Isn't that cool? He has set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. The great C.S. Lewis, the great theologian that was atheist, that turned into Christian, that wrote so many amazing, the Chronicles of Narnia and so many other theological books. But this guy, the great theologian C.S. Lewis wrote this: your place in heaven will seem to be made for you. And you alone, because you were made for it. Because you were made for it. It's going to be like it's just designed for you when you get there. Isn't that amazing? That the things that we're doing here on earth is being made. And Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Now, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination on heaven. I'm not. Nor have I ever been there before, so I'm really not an expert, okay? I've never been there before. Has anyone been to heaven, by the way? Okay? So none of us are probably experts on the whole idea of heaven. But one thing that we should be is a student. We should be a disciple. We should be a student of the place that we are going to spend eternity in. Don't you think? If you're going to go to a particular place here on earth and you're going to say, you know what, I'm leaving in about 2 months and I'm going to spend the rest of my life there, do you think you should like know a little bit about it before you go? What the temperature is, where you're going to live, everything a little bit about it, if they have Chinese food or not. I mean, we are going to need to know a little bit about it, right? And you think about the 81%, you think about all the people that statistically one out of one is going to die, and how many people do not know about the place that they are planning on going to, or hoping to go to. Because I can tell you this, if you study the other place, you're not going to want to go there. If you become a student just for 5 minutes on hell, and you become a student for 5 minutes on heaven, you will see clearly two different distinct places that you either don't want to go to or where you do want to go to. Amen? Y'all with me today? So what's heaven like? I could talk on it for months, and you're probably thinking, man, get to it then. There are so many places that we can go to. We can look at the Gospels. We can look at the Old Testament books. We can look at prophecy. We can look at Revelation. We can look at Paul's epistles. We can look literally endless. Matter of fact, listen to this. 54 out of 66 books talks about heaven. Almost every single book in the Bible speaks about heaven. Jesus spoke approximately 70 times on heaven just in Matthew, just in one of his books, 70 times. So if you're wondering, how can you not believe that there is a place after this place? Jesus Christ, who's at the beginning, who lives there, is speaking about it 70 times. So there's no misunderstanding that there is a real place called heaven. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, literally heaven is mentioned. 54 out of 66 books. The first person, Stephen. Stephen was a guy that became a Christian. And he's one of the first martyrs. He's the first one to be martyred, the first one to take up the true cross for Jesus. And listen to this in Acts 7, 55 through 56. The first glimpse of we see the first person that's going to be literally martyred for Christ says this. In Acts 7, 55 through 56, as it shows up here. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Verse 56, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. While he was being stoned to death, literally heaven opened up for him to catch a glimpse to be able to see the glory of Jesus Christ sitting right next to him. And how many people have also, during their closeness, their times of getting nearer and nearer to a death experience or have had a death experience, they have come back and said, I've seen something. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how much validity, I don't know how much truth there is involved in that. But there are a lot of people that have claimed that. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. This is our main text, Colossians chapter 3, just two verses that I want us to put our mind around when it comes to heaven. In Colossians, in the New Testament, chapter 3, I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, and then I'll read it again back out of the NIV so you can see. It says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, since you guys are Christians, if you claim that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you truly believe, and you truly have received Him in your life, then set your sights on the realities of heaven. That means set your sights on the truth of heaven. Set your sights, make sure that your heart is on heaven. where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Here you see it again, that God is on the right side of, that Jesus is on the right side of God. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. So let me read it in the NIV. Since that you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. So two things that we're supposed to be doing is setting our hearts and setting our minds on heaven, on the eternal things. Now I want you to think about your every single day life. How often are you thinking and putting your heart and your mind on things above, on heaven? Literally, in the Greek, it says this, I want you to think heaven. That's what that verse says. 1 and 2 literally says, in the Greek, I want you to think heaven, or even keep thinking about heaven in the original Greek. Your heart and your mind, even though your bodies may be here on earth, I need your heart and I need your mind on things above. This is what you should be focusing on. Why? Because every single thing else that you are focusing on is not going to make it. It's not going to matter. It's all going to burn up. It's worthless. And that changes a perspective on your everyday life. You ever wonder how the military people that are like POWs or inmates, if you've ever been an inmate or if you've ever known anyone that's been in prison, how do you think that they make it from day to day? Many of them don't make it emotionally. Many of them don't make it physically, but there are many that actually make it spiritually. You know why? Because even though their bodies, even though their feet are on earthly ground and they got to deal with earthly things, their heart and their mind is what? Is on the eternal. They know that their place here is temporary. And so people that truly have a conversion experience in prison, people that truly are POWs that know that they're never going to get out or their hope is to get out, but they may never do it, and all they can do is just put their hope and their faith in Jesus Christ and knowing that later on, as soon as their time is up, that they will spend eternity with Him. How do they do that? It's because their heart and their mind is on those things. I love what happens in Acts 16:25. It's not going to be up there. About midnight, notice this is at early in the morning, at midnight when everybody's asleep, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. This is why they were all chained up, by the way, verse before that. So while they're chained up at midnight, at 12 o'clock at night, what are they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God. That's where you put your heart and your mind, and you don't focus on where you are, but you're focusing on what is to come. What a great example that is for each and every one of us. Guys, there's going to be times in your life where things are going to imprison you, chain you up. There's going to be things that you're going to be in a place that you don't want to be in. And you're going to say, how am I going to get myself out of this? How am I going to get myself through this? You do what Paul and Silas did. You look to the eternal. You put your heart and your mind. See, the constant heavily thinking, the direct correlation of how you live and how you do this is going to literally change the way every single day will go for you. Now, am I telling you, hey, guys, I want you to think about death. Hey, guys, I want you to think about the doom and the gloom of dying. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to you is that, guys, we're only here temporary. We're only here for a little bit. You realize that, right? None of us are going to make it forever. So if we're only going to be here for a little bit, we don't have to keep worrying about things here on earth. We can actually be thinking about things that are above. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be sad. We don't need to lose hope. We know that something greater is waiting for us. So back to the question, what is heaven like? There's three things that is described. It's called the dwelling place, okay? It's the third heaven. We have one that's the first heaven that's the skies. You have the second heaven that is described as the planets and the solar system that He created. And then you have the third heaven that He talks about. The third heaven is the dwelling place. It's the supernatural realm. And we need to understand that it is supernatural. It's a supernatural that we cannot see unless God, for some reason, gives us a glimpse like he did here to John and to Stephen and to the Apostle Paul. It's a literal place. If it were not so, Jesus would have told us. Literally, heaven is a literal place. Over and over, heaven is described as a paradise. The man on the cross next to Jesus says, "Hey, Jesus, I know he's making fun of you over here, and he's ridiculing you, and he's telling you, hey, if you're really the Son of God, then take yourself off here and take me with you. But here I am. I believe in you. I believe in you. Will you take me with you?" And I quote, Jesus said in Luke 23:43, "Surely today you will be with me in paradise." Surely today you'll be with me in paradise. He knew his heart, which, by the way, he didn't have time to get baptized. Okay? Which separates a little bit of the other theology of that you, I'm not saying baptism is not important and you should. But this person, baptism does not save you. It does not get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is your faith in the Son of God, and that alone. It's not by any work so that anyone can boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's all about your faith. It's about your belief system in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. How many of you knew that the Apostle Paul also caught a glimpse of heaven? The reason why you may not know is because he didn't talk about it very much. Let me take you really quick to 2 Corinthians 12:17. It's 2 Corinthians 12:1-7, I'm sorry. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 12:1-7. I'll read this real quick. This boasting will do no good. But I must go on. I will reluctantly tell you about a vision and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven. Where did he go? The third heaven. What did I already tell you where heaven is? The third heaven. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago from the time he was writing this. Whether I was in the body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do not know that I was caught. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise. To where? Paradise. And heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. Things no human is allowed to tell. That should tell us something real quick, by the way. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weakness. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me what? Credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations, even though I've been to heaven from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. And there you see the Apostle Paul experience it. Not only that, but Jesus Christ was speaking to him on the road to Damascus. So he knows the voice of Jesus Christ. This whole idea in the Greek, what paradise means is a royal fenced-in garden. Guys, I don't know exactly how it's all going to work, but I know it's going to be beautiful because paradise literally in the Greek means a fenced-in, literally a garden. So think about the most beautiful garden you have ever seen. We'll add a little bit of that to it, okay? This is what he's saying. So not only is it referred to as a supernatural dwelling place, not only is it a paradise, a garden, but it's also literally a city. Hebrews 11:10 says this, For he was looking forward to the city with foundations. That means there's going to be levels. Whose architect and builder is who? God. Why? Because he's preparing a place. Hebrews 13, 14 says, for here we do not have an enduring city, right here, but we are looking for the city that is to what? To come. So we know that this place is going to be an awesome city. Let's turn to Revelation 21 and let's take a glimpse of what it's going to look like. See if my Bible's got it really quick. Revelation chapter 21, 10 through 27, watch this. So this is John here, and he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. This, by the way, is the new Jerusalem, what's coming. Descending out of heaven from God, it shone with the glory of God and sparkled like precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high with 12 gates guarded by the 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel was written on the gates. There were the three gates on each side, the east, the north, the south, and the west. And the wall city had 12 foundation of stones, and on them was written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found that it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and its width and its height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standards used by the angel. And the wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. And the wall of the city was built on the foundation stones and laid with 12 precious stones, the first with jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh whatever, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth whatever, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. You guys can look that up. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate with a single pearl, and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. And I saw no temple in the city. Why? Because for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb as its temple. And the city has no need of a sun or a moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the king of the world will enter the city in all of its glory. And its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all of the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful adultery or dishonesty, but only those whose names are what? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way you can have that done is right now. That's it. You cannot put your name when you finally get up there and meet Jesus face to face and say, oh, you are for real. All the agnostics, the deists, the atheists, all the icks and the asms and all the psychologies and all the people that want to believe in the false gods and the shrines and all those things, they will truly someday will see that he is the only one living true God. Everything else was a waste. And we should be praying for those people right now. We should be praying for our children. We should be praying for everyone that we are encountered with, and the people that we don't know, and the people that are lost. Because Jesus is going to come back when the time comes when everybody has had an opportunity to hear God's word. And when that time comes, that's it. Is your name written on the book of life, in the book of life? The writer of this book, as I close, the writer of this book of Revelation, of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, knew about heaven. He's the one that caught the glimpse of heaven. He knows about it. He knows what's there, and he knew by being with Jesus Christ every day what was on his heart. You know what was on his heart? You. Spending time in heaven for all of eternity with him. Nothing else mattered to Jesus Christ. Nothing. He had 33 years and 3 years of ministry, and that's it, to do all he could. And that's when the Holy Spirit, when he ascended up to heaven and the Holy Spirit came into us, it's now our job, it's our responsibility to let everybody know about this good news. We got to be more excited than this. It's our job to do this. But you want to know the heart of Jesus Christ? Listen to this. John 17:24. I say it at every funeral, just like I said in John 14. This is probably my most favorite verse besides that he does the impossible with us. Father, I want those whom you have given me where I am. Then they can see all the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. God, Father, all the people that you have created, I want every single one of them to be with me. This is Jesus' number one prayer. And this should be our number one prayer too. This new heaven and this new earth, guys, I could literally preach on this for 7 months. And I could preach for several more hours. But I want to close with this. Here's a more important question that we should ask. Not is what does heaven look like, but how do you get there? How do you get to heaven? Not so much what it looks like, not what it's going to be like. Because we're going to be like the little kid just having fun, just guessing. And I'm going to have a little bit of scripture here to give you a glimpse. And I could do a lot more. But the number one question that we should be asking ourselves right now, and that you should be asking if you have not asked this question, or if there's any doubt whatsoever, how do you get into heaven? I'm going to answer that right now. There's no more suspense. I'm not going to wait any longer. Here we go. In just a few more minutes, you're going to have the answer you've all been waiting for. This is usually where like a commercial would happen on TV. You're like, no, or the season would end, and then you have to wait like 3 more months. John 3:3, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 14:4. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to my Father except through me. All you other religions and ichnasms and all that out there. And just wondering if you're predestined. Did only the elect, only some of you can make it and some of you guys can't make it? Sorry, guys. I believe everybody is predestined to receive Christ. Does it mean that everybody will? No. But I believe that God has opened up and died for the world and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What? Say it with me. That whoever believes in him, not just of some of you, not just the one that came to church today and the other ones, sorry, not the ones that do enough good things or gave enough money, whoever confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, remember the guy on the cross next to him, that's all he had time for. God, Jesus, Son of God, I believe. If you want to know how to get to heaven, There's just a few of the scriptures for the sake of time that I picked out. That's it. Troy, that seems way too simple. It's meant to be. Because if it was hard, none of us are going to go. And if you had to be perfect, none of us are going to go. And if you have to pray long enough, none of us are going to have time for that. So let's do this. Let's just be still before God right now. You go before the Lord and make that arrangement with Him. Don't let another day, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord, or if you are in doubt, let me erase the doubt and secure it right now. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we want to just stop. Just as we're seating right now, as we're just seated right now, and I just want to be quiet. As the music is playing, I just want us just to be quiet. I want us to be still before you. I pray that each one of us, and even those that are watching online, the ones that may hear this message later, I pray that they would do this also. That we just be still and know that you are God. So Lord, just want to take just a minute and just be still before you and make sure that we have answered this question with you. So Father God, we're not looking for hands to be raised. We're looking for hearts to be raised today. We're looking for minds and hearts to be set on you, even in whatever situation that may be going on. I pray that today that there's not going to be one single person that will walk out of here not knowing where they're going and where you are preparing a place for them. So next week, Lord, as we look at what heaven could be like, what is our job today? What do we need to be doing to prepare what heaven could look like for us? And so today, I pray that each of us will be encouraged and have hope and knowing that we will all spend eternity with you today. And if there's people here today that are still struggling with that, maybe there's people that have questions. I pray that God, that maybe they'll come talk to me, or maybe they'll seek you out, and maybe they're just not sure what this whole thing is about. I pray that they'd come talk to me or someone that they trust and can help them answer those questions. We come before you, Lord, and we thank you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll come and stand for a time of invitation.